imitation. Institutionalized slander.
It takes away the foundation. And when you don't have no foundation, you can't do anything.
In Psalms, it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can you do? So is somebody rooted and grounded on the foundation of slander? Christianity is the church. What can you do? Somehow or another, you've got to persuade them to get off that foundation. And that's scary. It was scary for me. It's going to be scary for the next guy. But with the love, that's why we've got to go with the love of God first instead of doctrine first. If they don't feel that you love them when you talk to them, you're wasting your time. You actually hurt them. My. But that's why Jeremiah was hated.
So say that statement again about if the lie becomes the norm.
If the lie becomes the norm, then normal people are liars. That's a hard saying, isn't it?
And they can tell it with all the heart because they believe it with all the heart.
Absolutely.
It's convincing.
Now, I believe Sister Atkinson went on to be with Jesus. Matter of fact, she cut out that kind of testimony before she died. God, she discerned that spirit after a while, after we, you know, were around a little while. And she did not discern what was true because of what we told her. Because Earl and I sat with her in her house, and I tried to make it as simple as for a first grader. And when we finished, Sister Atkinson said, I still don't see the difference between what you're saying and the Church of God. Well, Sister Atkinson, we just love you to death. Forget about it. But when she had in the same little living room, me teaching the truth, and that spirit raising up its ugly head, she saw that. The next couple of days when I went to visit her after that meeting, she couldn't read. Her eyes were too bad. She had believed her minister for four, I don't know how many years has she been in the Church of God. I mean, she was decades. Long, long time. She had heard from every minister she went to listen to, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. She assumed some of them had white hair. They'd been in the way as long or longer than she had. She assumed they knew what they were talking about. She asked me that day when I walked in her house, she said, isn't it in there? Or ain't it in there? Something. I said, Sister Atkinson, if it was in there one time, it would be true. It's just not there. And she just sat there thinking about the 40, 50 years of listening to hundreds of ministers, and all of them had lied to her. It wasn't anywhere in there. That's something to think about when you're up in your, you know, late 70s or whatever. And she never gave that testimony again.
Especially when you have loved God.
Yeah.
And just wanted to please Him.
That's
and
all.
To live right. And you swallowed that lie year after year after year. From so many people. I mean,
where
you
had
a
loss. She couldn't say anything. It was just her and God. I left her with her and God.
But Brother John, just to hear what you were saying and to catch on to it and believe it, God's got to give you faith.
Amen.
If God don't give you faith to believe that, you can't believe that.
That's right.
And sometimes, you know, I think about myself. I heard it, and I like what I heard, and I just decided to hang around and hear more. And here I am.
And it's the work of God.
That's right. You know, when she said that, I think that when I was saying that, when I was up, I tell you what, only God could see down in every one of our hearts. And I don't even have any idea what was the difference in me and Zedekiah or anybody else other than God saw something and let you come out. And it's like you said before, people's response to things is out of your hand. So when that man responded by being like that and turned around and come back, some people receive it. It's like God looks down in there and says, this is going to be worthy.
Amen.
And that's what makes you want to hang around. You think you just hang around, or you think you just happen to bump into somebody.
Maybe.
Along.
Amen.
And it's God picking and choosing all the way along who believes it and who don't. And that's one reason we do want to make every right decision. I know I do. I don't have that long to live. I want to make every right one I can. So it just becomes the norm in my life and weaving in the fiber of my heart. So that the wrong just sticks out all the time. It just sticks out to be what it is, and the truth sticks out. But there's something that God sees down in every one of their hearts, and every one we read about. And He just says, yeah, this is going to come along. And that is not.
It's praise God.
Oh,
Jimmy,
good. I'm like that too. You know, I don't have that much longer to live. And I want to make every day count.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Every minute, every hour.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I don't know if we'll go through the rest of this page by page. You've read it. We've gone through basically what it amounts to. Back when I taught this in community college, best memory I've got, and according to Sister Susie in Louisville, who listens to the 1994 tapes when we went through the Old Testament, well, there's a certain question on here, just one, that really shows me how good a job I've done, or not, by a certain answer that I get. This is my test score, not yours. There are no wrong answers. There are degrees of good, better, and best answer, I think, but there are no wrong answers. I mean, how can you read it and be really feel inspired reading a certain point? I say, what seemed inspiring, how can what you feel be a wrong answer? It's all right answer. There are no wrong answers. Well, there's one particular answer I look on here. In Louisville, because I tell you why I look for it. Because it takes courage to give it. It takes humility to give it. No person who's self-righteous would ever give it. There are a lot of people who are not self-righteous who wouldn't give it, but nobody would ever put that answer in here who's proud or self-righteous. In Louisville, I got three people that dared to write it. Two of them apologized for writing it in one form or another. Only one person just wrote it out there. I went through all these papers and nobody here put it, except for one person as an alternative to another answer, to the other half of the answer. So I can't give myself an A this time, but I'm beginning to think that one of the reasons that answer wasn't given was because of it's taken so long to go through it. Back when we did it before, and when I did it at community college, it was boom, 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 boom. It kind of kept something beyond good stirred up. So I think you've learned a lot, but I think you missed a lesson. Because nobody put my answer. I keep looking for to grade myself with. I want to find, what'd you put? I'm going to find out. I'm not even going to tell you what question it is. I'm going to find out what you put. We're going to go over these questions Wednesday, maybe. I can't find, let me see. One person put my answer and gave me a good grade. Oh, where's Jimmy's? I know what you put because everybody in the whole class put the same thing. But I want to see it for myself. Because while you were talking, during these days, we've been talking just kind of casually this and that. I've been listening to all of you talking about these stories. I want to see if I picked up on any of you feeling that what I was really wanting you to feel. Oh, Jimmy, why, you bet you're the last one in here. And something you said over these last days even contradicted what you wrote on here. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Well, if you're talking about the woman.
No. We're going to talk about it Wednesday night. Okay. Then you can give yourself all the excuses you want to give. All the explanation. And we'll enjoy it. We're going to find out. Her question was, over the years and teaching in community college, how many people followed the truth? How many got your start here really with the Old Testament class at the community college? Lou and Sheila and Jim and Debbie and Sandy, and you came from that. And that produced Amanda, Julie, Natalie.
Do I count?
And Billy. Billy counts. Yep, that's right. Old Testament class. That's where we started. Leanne, Jamie, Stacy came produced from that. Well, the Old Testament class, Randall, don't be shy. It wasn't me teaching community college, but it was Earl teaching it. Same thing. So, you know, pretty good crop from over the years. And I've had other people receive the Holy Ghost afterwards. They didn't have enough nerve to come out and be seen in public with me, but they did. They did.
Closet believers.
Yeah, closet believers.
You got a minister that way too.
Yeah, what? That's right.
You got a minister
that way. Oh, yeah, yeah. I got a wonderful letter from one man who is a businessman there in town, took the class. It was the same class that Patsy and Sheila and Lou started. That was the best class I ever had. Wrote me about how much Old Testament meant to him. He quit his job, gone into the Methodist ministry, and I didn't know whether to be happy about that or not. But I wrote him back and told him I hope he kept going and kind of pointed him in the right direction away from that stuff. Never heard from him again. But it's touched a lot of people. Muslims included. Mm-hmm. And that in prison at Butner Federal Penitentiary, I've taught it a couple of times. I had a number of Muslims sign up for it. And I didn't talk about the New Testament. And those of you who've been through it know I wouldn't allow any New Testament discussion at all in the old, going through the old. If I do, everybody get mad and quit after a few weeks. But just learning the Old Testament material, there's a big, huge black Muslim guy named David. And right in the middle of the Old Testament class, as we were going through it, in the middle of the classes, we hadn't even gone halfway through. He could see the writing on the wall. He said he renounced that religion and gave himself to Jesus. That was the only place it was going. He could see it coming. It's the only place it goes when it's done right. It goes straight to Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Well, I think I'll wait for Wednesday before I tell you why I got a B.
It's early yet.
It's 12 o'clock. Y'all gotta get out of church. Tell me then, Tim. Tell me how you felt when it was all over. When you read the story and you finished it. What kind of feelings did you have?
There was a fear of God that came over me. Learning that Christianity is no different than what was being written in this book right here. Nobody else is telling the truth. I know that when I first came here, I had a lot of questions in my heart. And you're the only one that was bold enough to give me the right answer. It meant something to me. It set me in a on a path to start examining my own life and to start fearing what God was doing. And, you know, the things that happened to me over the years, I look at as examples of what you're doing to me.
Amen.
Humble me down. Make me real. Teach me who He really is.
Praise God. How'd you feel, Randall, when you got through to with a story?
Learn how much God loves people, how merciful He is. But you can't read the New Testament and see it in it. I couldn't. I mean, I could see it in the Old Testament like I'd never seen it before. It just lets me know that God told me once that He sent me to the best He had on this earth to learn about Him. And I'm at the place where I need to be to learn about God.
Amen. What do you think, Donald, when you got through with the whole thing?
John, I'm just so thankful to have walked down those steps when I did, because I think I've told you, or we've talked about it a little bit, but I know coming down those steps, you know, I didn't really have any good idea about what this was going to be about. But having grown up in the Catholic Church like I did, and then another form of Christianity later, the Methodist Church. All I had ever seen was lies and hurt and that kind of thing. And then coming into this group, it's just been so clean and so pure and so righteous. And I don't really know. I sit and wonder after this class and what we've been through is what God has in mind for this group.
Amen.
And man, I don't have a clue. I just know I want to be a part of it, because I don't know where we're headed, but I don't think that we're sitting here with John and his family just to keep doing what we're doing. There's something that's going to happen, and I don't know what it is. But, man, I am just so thankful to be a part of this group. And boy, what a messed up world we have. But I know the man that's in control, not a big problem for the God that we serve, that's for sure.
He can fix everybody.
He can fix everybody. And it's really exciting, to be honest.
Amen.
It's exciting.
Jim, what were you thinking when you finished reading the story about Jeremiah?
Well, I thought that if my name had been written into that story, that it wouldn't, if I'd have been back in those times, that I had hoped that my name would be Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel.
Or somebody with a mark on your forehead.
That I wouldn't be some of the multitude that had fallen away with idolatrous spirits.
Just a few weren't.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and that makes me want to be more and more humble.
Amen.
And that's something that I need to work on. Maybe we all do.
Amen.
I know I need to work on that more than ever. And that, I think that's what this whole story has taught me, that obedience and humility are the keys.
That's right.
They're the keys.
That's right.
And sometimes I catch myself in my practice becoming a little bit more proud than I should be.
I know the feeling.
And it's just something you have to, every morning you have to, like Sister Willie says, you have to get up and put on that coat of righteousness.
Amen.
And humility.
Amen.
And walk out of the house knowing that God is in control of your life and you are not.
Amen. By the way, I told him in Louisville, for those of you who didn't read the book of Jeremiah along with this story, I want to tell you the end of the story. Because the end of the story is not here for Jeremiah. I stopped it there in this book with Jeremiah because I wanted to move on to other things. I'd gotten my point across about God being in control of Jerusalem being destroyed. So when that's done, I moved on. What happened to Jeremiah? Well, After Nebuchadnezzar destroyed everything, Jerusalem, burned down the king's palace, the temple, destroyed it all. I think it is in there that the general, Nebuchadnezzar, told his general to give Jeremiah a choice. Jeremiah had a reputation outside the walls of Jerusalem. And Jeremiah chose to stay in the promised land rather than go to Babylon and be taken care of by Nebuchadnezzar. Stay behind with the few that were left. Nebuchadnezzar set up a governor over this territory named Gedaliah, and his headquarters was at Mizpah, center of the country. And that's who was given a commandment to take care of Jeremiah. Jeremiah stayed with Gedaliah and his officers. As Gedaliah was an Israelite, a Jewish guy. Now, there were some other Jews who, in spite of everything that had happened, still wanted to rebel against Nebuchadnezzar. One of them was called Ishmael. And he made a league. Isn't it strange? You want to rebel against this foreigner, so you make a league with another foreigner, the king of Moab, to assassinate Gedaliah. And it was even discovered. Gedaliah was warned. Don't you know that Ishmael, the son of whoever, and his band of men want to kill you? And he said, oh, don't talk about people like that. He had an honest heart, a trusting heart. Well, not long after that, at a feast that Gedaliah had invited Ishmael to, trying to just take care of the remnant of this wasted land, he and his men jumped up and murdered Gedaliah. Well, then they knew they were in trouble. Nebuchadnezzar had set that man in authority. Now they had murdered him for working with Nebuchadnezzar, but they worked with Moab to kill him. I told you it was insane. So who do they go to find the answer to their problem? Jeremiah. And they come to Jeremiah and said, what are we going to do? I know we're in trouble now. Should we stay here in this land or should we escape to Egypt? And he said, well, what's the point of telling you? You're going to do what you want anyway. No, no, anything you tell us. We know we're at the rock bottom now. We just get in touch with God. Well, God wouldn't talk to Jeremiah. 10 days. On the 10th day, he finally had a little talk with him. So they came to him. They're probably getting frustrated with him by that time. No answer. And you know, a false prophet could come up with one overnight. But Jeremiah was waiting for God to tell him. So they come back to Jeremiah, and they say, what is the word of the Lord? He said, what is the point of telling you? You are not, you've got something to do in your heart, and you're going to do it no matter what I say. And they swore on their life, we will do anything you tell us. We're desperate. Anything you say, you won't believe it's from God. Yes, we will believe you. And I'll tell you what God said. But you're not going to do it. Yes, we will. He said, stay here. And Nebuchadnezzar won't kill you. And he'll take it out. Jeremiah was standing there with Baruch, who's writing all this down. And God will take care of you, and Nebuchadnezzar won't kill you. And they said, God didn't tell you that. Baruch is the one that told you to tell us that. We're going to Egypt anyway. And more than that, you're coming with us. So they forced Jeremiah to go with them to Egypt. They took Jeremiah into captivity when the heathen had turned him loose. And that's the last we ever hear of Jeremiah. It's the end of his story. God's people dragged him off into captivity into a foreign land.
What happened to Jeremiah? What happened to Jeremiah?
That's it. That's it. The Bible mentions that they also took some of the king's daughters that were left behind. And Herbert Armstrong decided that Jeremiah married some of those king's daughters and had children, and they moved and became Great Britain and America. Or something like that. I don't know. That's called sticking your head in the cracks. And imagining all these things in the dark. But that's what happened to Jeremiah. I'm telling you, you missed it if you didn't read the book. There is it. Full of exciting things. Full of exciting things. Sheila, summarize the message of the true prophets.
The true prophets were hearing from God.
Yeah, but what were they saying?
That Jerusalem would be destroyed and they would be taken to Babylon.
They would be destroyed if what?
If they didn't repent.
That's exactly right. That obedience to God is what would cause them to escape from destruction. Haskell, what was the basic message of the false prophets?
That the people could basically do whatever they wanted because God already had a covenant with them and with David, and he would destroy Jerusalem.
Well, basically, they were already saved. Open your books to Jeremiah. Let me show you where they said that. I think it's chapter 7. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word, and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all ye Judah, all ye of Judah, that enter into these gates to worship Jehovah. Thus saith the Lord." Now they could have been entering into those gates to worship some other gods, but if any of them were coming to worship Jehovah, this was for them. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these." These belong to the temple and they're always safe. "For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers, forever and ever. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are saved to commit all these abominations?" Abominations. That's what the word delivered means. So they were basically, and other versions will have the word saved there. Does your abomination have that word saved there, Mark?
It says safe.
Safe? Read that last verse, if you don't mind.
"And then come and stand before me in this house which bears my name and say, we are saved. Safe to do all these detestable things."
Yeah, we're rescued by God so that we can do all this bad stuff. That was the message of the false prophets. God has delivered us to Egypt to bring us here so that we could commit all these sins. And we are safe because His temple is here.
And now they say you can't quit sinning.
You can't quit sinning, but you're delivered anyway, and it doesn't matter if you do all... You're delivered so that you can commit all these sins without worrying about it.
Right. Yeah.
That's what the communion and the denominations is now. That's what that's all about. You go to take communion this Sunday, and then you can go out and do those same sins and come back 2 weeks later and take communion.
Wash them off again. Yeah. Nothing new under the sun. What, if anything, to you, Elijah, seemed inspiring? What about it?
Because it was so good.
What about it made it good? You're not going to get by with all these adjectives.
did the right thing.
What did he do?
He obeyed God.
And did what?
And did Moses' law.
He what?
He did Moses' law.
Well, that's a big thing. That was inspiring to me and everybody else, I think. What about you, Glenn? What seemed inspiring mostly to you in this whole story? The last two assignments.
Josiah was about the only thing that was inspiring.
The only thing? Jeremiah didn't mean much to you.
No, yeah, Jeremiah well. Did. Jeremiah had done a lot of suffering after Josiah. He had a few good years there with Josiah, but after that, it was all weeping.
He's called the weeping prophet.
That's right. It was all weeping.
How about you, Kathy?
Me?
Yeah.
All of it.
What kind of encouraged, what, all of it inspired you?
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said, and Jeremiah and Josiah. But Jeremiah, that's my
heart. Yeah, God's got his people, doesn't he? No matter what. That's what he told Elijah. I still got my 7,000. They haven't kissed Baal yet. Praise God. Earl, what if anything seemed depressing or kind of make you give you a sick feeling?
Yeah. Well, that's I've had it in the past where people went the wrong way and started telling other things they shouldn't have been saying. That was really sad. And then see the false prophets do that.
See God's people be persuaded.
And many of them were killed and destroyed.
Oh, I know it. I know it. Did you read it, Tracy? Anything particularly seem depressing or inspiring? Depressing or anything like that?
I felt sorry for Jeremiah because I was thinking, it's what, nothing has changed just the time. And older Jeremiah is like you and trying to tell what God was trying to show his people. And they.
You know, Brother Junior out in Louisville, talking about Jeremiah's suffering, brought up a point I had never really, well, I've forgotten it if I ever thought about it, how that Jeremiah was obeying God perfectly. And you can do that. That's not hard. Just keep the commandments. Be happy. He was obeying God perfectly, and he was thrown into a mud pit by God's people. Daniel, at the same time, was obeying God perfectly, and he was sitting in the midst of luxury. Because the heathen honored him. Isn't that some kind of contrast?
Yeah.
Same time. Daniel's up in the king's palace and Jeremiah's down in the mud pit.
And the heathen exalted Daniel and the God's people done what they done to Jeremiah.
See it all the way through the story. The heathen treated God's servants better than God's people. Jesus came into his own, and his own received him not.
After all that, God promised him that he was going to bring him back out again.
Yeah,
too.
That's right.
And after all that, after 70 years, how did he bring them all back and give them a different spirit?
Wow. Who did you like the least, Leah, and this whole story?
I don't think on my paper I put one person. I think I put all the kings, the last four kings that then just slowly lost interest in everything in God and didn't do what they're supposed to do, I guess.
Well, what about you, Sarah?
The least?
Yeah, who'd you like the least?
All of the false prophets.
Well, it's just one spirit behind them. What about you, Cliff? Who did you like the least? Eliakim? Jehoiakim, wasn't it? What about you, Gary? Oh, you've already done yours. What about you, Josiah?
Zedekiah.
What about you, Sandy?
Well, I went back a little ways.
Manasseh? What about you, Jim?
I'm going to say unbeliever. Manasseh.
What do you think now, right this minute?
He still
sticks out. What about you, Jason?
Manasseh.
What about you, Lynn?
False prophets.
Donna?
False prophets.
Caroline? How about you, Rob?
Zedekiah.
In particular. What about you, Amy?
Zedekiah.
You put Zedekiah. What about you, Ellen?
Zedekiah.
Sammy?
Can't use one.
Yeah. What about you, Haskell? Same one? Zedekiah? What about you? Oh, you copied his paper.
Zedekiah is the last one that we read about, and I think he has way stuck out.
Stuck in people's heads, yeah. Well, Token, what'd you say? Hananiah, the guy that broke Jeremiah's yoke?
Yeah.
What about you, Sister Mama? Did you have?
I said Zedekiah.
Zedekiah, yeah. Zedekiah, boy, y'all said it together. Whew. What about you, Bess? Hananiah, that rotten guy. What you, Keith?
Manasseh.
Hananiah. Kathy? What about you, Travis?
False prophets.
Rebecca? Did you do one? You didn't do one.
I answered it with Amy. I got one. That's who I said.
Oh, okay. Who'd you say?
The false prophets.
Oh.
Manasseh?
What did you, Jim?
I put Zedekiah. But then I got to thinking a few minutes ago about false prophets. But false prophets are no different than the Christian ministers today.
No, that's the same thing.
And we need to pray for those people.
Yeah.
Not to, you know.
So what do you think now?
Zedekiah.
What'd you put, Amanda? False prophets?
I put Jehoiakim. I was looking for one thing, mm-hmm. one person. And it just looked like Jeremiah's book.
Tearing it up, burning it.
Yeah, it started off, you know, perhaps Judah will heal. God speaking to Jeremiah. And he told them to burn it up before they got a chance to hear it.
So they wouldn't hear it?
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
So I just didn't like that.
Manasseh?
Jehoiakim?
Barbara, who'd you put?
Well, I didn't know Manasseh was a choice. I thought that was too far back in our
reading. Yeah. The answer is applied to all your reading in the All Things book from page 58 to 123. If you know that, would you have said Manasseh?
Well, I went back and forth. I thought, who has the power to do the most damage to the most people? The group of false prophets or the king? Like, who has the most power? Like, who influenced the most people to do evil? So after I ruled that out, I said, well, I think a king back during that time would have more power to do the most damage to the most people. So I decided I needed to choose a king. So I thought it was just the last four kings, but I thought it was from Jehoiakim. Then the choices were between Jehoiakim and Zedekiah. So the point is, Zedekiah was, which would be the more basically evil, Zedekiah or Jehoiakim?
Jehoiakim. Thank you. Now come on and admit it. All right. What'd you say, Taylor?
Well, John, when I got to really think, I'm just kidding.
Zedekiah? What do you think, Bob?
I said Zedekiah because he had more of an opportunity to do right. I mean, God was giving him chance after chance to listen to Jeremiah. And he was so wishy-washy, he'd go back and forth. And I think like his fear of the people would just overrode his decision-making. He was just wishy-washy, and it cost so many people's lives.
Sure did.
He had the power to do something.
Yes, he did.
And he had a contact with God through Jeremiah offered to him.
What'd you think, Billy?
I don't remember what I put on that paper. If I was going to have to pick one person, I'd probably say Manasseh.
Manasseh. What about you, Carol?
I put Manasseh.
Manasseh?
But Ellen had a good point about Zedekiah.
Oh, you're going to switch over?
No.
Okay. Well, thanks for the information. Earl says Manasseh. Betty?
Priest, prince, and Alpha.
You know what? I look back over the way to look at Greg Crum.
Oh. Oh, yeah, because he didn't say
that. He didn't say that.
Because I can't remember what you said. If the priest had a talk with the Levites and all, if they just knew the law, they could have been a big help to the king if he was afraid. Could have been a big help to the people.
The spirit of the false prophets. What about you, Sister Billy? What'd you put? False prophets. Anybody else in here want to give your answer?
I give Manasseh, but I didn't know we could have all those choices. I could put 4 or 5. I could put a dozen people.
Yeah. Well, some people can't make up their mind. Of course, if they had done what Barbara did, they'd have narrowed it down to one person. But she would have not put Manasseh if she'd have known that.
She had to erase all that.
What?
Can I just make a comment about Zedekiah?
Yes, go right ahead.
Say that Zedekiah is your least favorite. To me, it's like watching a ball game and saying the worst player in the game is the last one that strikes out and the game's over and the team loses. Because Zedekiah, compared to Manasseh, he did some good things. He called Jeremiah in and then he chickened out. He saved Jeremiah, he said they could kill him, they saved Jeremiah's life. He was just too wishy-washy to be completely evil. He set all the slaves free. You know, Manasseh was just completely wicked.
Manasseh loved the evil that he did.
Yeah.
A long time, too.
And that's why it's always a disappointment to me when my Old Testament class doesn't put Zedekiah for the character you sympathize most with. Because if you brought a If I had 50 students that were all hypocrites, all of them would put Jeremiah. Jeremiah's a good answer. If you don't sympathize with Jeremiah, there's something wrong with you. But my guess is every one of us have been like Zedekiah more often than we'd like to admit. And nobody here put Zedekiah. In 94, no, I don't think you did. You put Hezekiah. Did you misspell Zedekiah? I looked at it twice. Nobody here except Amanda. And she combined him with Jeremiah as a safety valve. Well, I don't read footnotes.
Oh, okay.
Hezekiah, the first word. Mm-mm. Now, you contradicted yourself a little while ago when you were standing up and talking about sympathizing so much with Zedekiah. But nobody here went that. I think it shows a deeper. There it is. Read it and weep. Jeremiah is a good answer. It's not a wrong answer. But I think it would be a little bit closer to humility and wisdom and the love of God and seeing yourself. Zedekiah, I think, would give me an A for this course. Tom had an interesting answer. He said the character he liked the least was Zedekiah because he was so much like him. So what do you do with that? and to dislike Zedekiah the most shows a little bit of hypocrisy in you. If you said it, you've got a little bit.
That's the reason why I couldn't say Zedekiah, because I knew he was a coward, and I know sometimes it's like in Proverbs, a man who can't rule his whole own spirit is like a city without walls, just totally defenseless. But I've seen some people like that who have something about them that have a little good in them, but they just don't have the strength to do it.
He didn't want to do any bad thing he did. Have you ever done that? You ever felt that way? I know you have. I know you have. And I'm beginning to think that the reason I didn't get a lot of Zedekiah the way I have in the past is because we broke the course that's just taken so long to go through. But that's the answer I really wanted to hear. I got 2.5 in Louisville. No, I got 2.5 and 1 in Louisville. And I got 1/2 here. And then Jimmy's testimony. You want to rewrite that?
Well, the bottom part here, I put what's your general feeling. I tell you, I really did feel sorry for Zedekiah. And the last 4 kings altogether. Because I feel like, in a way, I lived through part of that in my own spiritual.
I know I have.
I mean, I've really lived a lot through that. And you think, well, they had an opportunity to do the right thing, but spiritually, when you get entangled, it's just not that easy. It's real easy when you're sitting here now. But when you get there with all the other isms and asms and all the other and all the other people and all, what everybody's expecting on this side, what God's expecting on that side, and you're really struggling with all your heart to do the right thing, and you just can't hardly take that. You just can't grab a hold of it.
I can't see, Jimmy, how anybody could hate Zedekiah. I can't see it.
He was pitiful, really.
He really.
I've been pitiful. I know.
How can you not like him, though? What's not likable about him, other than his weakness, his fears? He was just set up as a puppet king. He had some powerful princes and barons around you that were willing to put you to death. He was 21 years old.
He didn't know anything about war.
Knew nothing.
Josiah had been dead since he was 9.
That's right. He was just a kid when his father died. How can you choose him as your most unlikable character? Unless it's like Tommy. He's so much like me, I just don't want to read about him. Is he really the most dislikable character when you consider Manasseh, who absolutely loved immorality, had no qualms about executing innocent people? 55 years of turning the whole nation back toward the devil and glad to do it. You really don't like Zedekiah more than that? That's what I didn't want to hear for the second answer. I didn't want to hear Zedekiah. If you said Zedekiah, there's some pride there that you need to get rid of. I know he had authority to do right. So what? How much authority have you had to do right? That's irrelevant. Why do you not like him because he had authority? That's nothing. He was very weak-willed. And you know, God promised him that Nebuchadnezzar would not kill him with the sword. He put his eyes out, but he took him to Babylon. We don't know how long he lived or anything. But God understood that too. He punished him. I mean, you can't watch your own children butchered before you, before your own lip is hooked with a hook, and then they jab your eyes out and haul you off. He suffered for what? His weakness. He suffered for his cowardice.
John, he admitted that he had enough guts to go for the king to get Jeremiah out of that pit.
Yeah. He just swung back and forth, good, bad, and he was just a coward. Now, pardon me, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say that I don't think I gave enough thought to it. I really don't think
a lot of people, from what I saw in these answers, I think it was a last minute thing for some of you, and you were just filling up answers. And that's no good.
I believe I wrote down Zedekiah, I didn't like him because it was wishy-washy. I did put that on there. and a little light bulb came over my head. Have you not been wishy-washy in your life?
Yeah, I think a lot of us got that way.
And, you know, it's difficult many times to please the public that we that many of us deal with and to please God. You can't do both.
Yeah.
You can't do both. And that's just where he was.
Yeah, that's right. He had a lot of pressure on him from a lot of different angles, and he didn't volunteer for the job. He didn't overthrow the previous king and make himself king. Nebuchadnezzar pulled him up by the hair and said, "You're it. Make sure I get my money every year." I know it. Like I say, I think part of the reasons I got answers I didn't want was, 2 years. This is January is 2 years since we started going through this Old Testament. And we've had, how many months did we spend in Deuteronomy? Because the way of grace gone, sat around lying on the floor for 2 months and picked it back up.
I didn't know we could go back that far. I thought it was just in the reading that you gave us.
Maybe I need to make that larger there.
Back to Jeroboam.
Yeah. Well, just in the two assignments of the law.
I just started at page 86 with John. What I really wanted to say, I felt sorry for was God, but I didn't want to just put him down.
I had several God answers for the ones you felt the most sympathy for. Yeah. But I think you don't have to feel too bad for God because he's all right.
Yeah, he's all right.
And as soon as Jeremiah died, he was all right. I just don't know about that Zedekiah.
He did at one time, so he just put the same thing Jeremiah did, but his heart being turned.
Yeah. Yes, he did. He said the same thing in Hosea. God's heart was turned within him because of God's people.
Talk about when Ephraim was a little child, I taught you to go, took him by the hands and taught
him
to walk, and then his heart was turned.
That's right. But as I say, there are no wrong answers. If you don't like him, you don't like him. But I think the reason most people would not like Zedekiah is because they didn't want to admit they're like him. That's what I have seen over the years teaching the Old Testament. I could just about predict some of the proud people in my Old Testament class would come out of Christian denominations. I could tell you what answers they were going to give. They were going to sympathize with Jeremiah and hate Zedekiah. That doesn't mean you're like that, but everybody who's self-righteous is going to sympathize with Jeremiah and hate Zedekiah. Everybody. That's because of the spiritual thing you go to get that answer. I could predict that. So I couldn't give myself an A on this course. These are my grades right here. But I could go B, maybe. I'm going to go through them all. I'm going to read them. That's really good for me to do. Now, you've got your assignment for next time, right? If you read about a geographic place and you're reading and you don't know where it is, what are you going to do about it? Live long and prosper.